Log Talk Radio. Ecuador, oye.
Moyubá.
Oriwa ba olofi, oriwa ba olote. Omi tutu, ana tutu, tutu ile. Tutu imale, tutu de guanto loco. Bobo arao no iko la bagua en olocha la ciencia de fuche. Oke kilo, mayor dumi echu bi. Echu migua, echu banqueo, si can periquito, perequitín en bolo. Bobo arao no echu tolu. Bobo arao no iko la bagua y sola pedroso. Bobo arao no, toda la ciencia con la balagua mole gua. Que están en el mundo, la verdad, en belé solo dumare. El igual arroyo vara el ayikio, vara atento nuto nu manico manico ndolo, y cuye letu, vara quille lo echafra la goma cual la mugua ta, padre mío celestial la goyama la sin cancuna. Aquí está su modo usted chumbanigüe, rindiéndole moforibala y ahí el dumbo que el dum. Que la bendición de mi padrino Salaco siempre me acompañe, y que la bendición de usted siempre me acompañe, con Ávila Sordi de, páguenos libre y discú araye, tillatillabo, gozo burló el uno fun fun. Todas las cosas malas que hay en el plano de la tierra, Padre mío celestial, usted no libre.
Nigeria, Adeniyi, Ajeni, Ele, Buabun,
I'm still working on my pronunciation, so please forgive me if that's not perfected as of yet. I'm not as fluent as Baba Ifa Sakin, but I'm working on it. I'm not making any excuses. And indeed, we are in a time now where there is no time really for making excuses. It's time to be that which we are, that which is our destiny, that which we say we wish to become, and to operate and move within that. Our show, our very special show for today, we are going to discuss Egungun, masquerade, carnival, secret societies, mystery system, if you will, both on this side of the ocean and on that side of the ocean, both here in the Americas, particularly New Orleans, and as well as Nigeria, the birthplace, if you will, of many of these traditions, if you did not know. Mardi Gras, which we are now in the full swing of, well, we're in the full swing of Carnival. Let me be clear. There are two events that are going on right now. They're not marketed as two events. They're not talked about as two events. But there are two events that are going on right now. And most people, particularly those of you who are from outside of the city, have no idea. Many of you who live here in the city don't have any idea if you're not actively participating. There's Mardi Gras, which we all sort of recognize because it's in the media. It's on the news. It's in the TV. It's in your encyclopedia. It is closely associated with Lent and the Catholic Church and the Christian faith. Many of you didn't know that. It is a Christian holiday, much like Halloween, but more from a Christian perspective. Halloween deals with spirits, devils, jinn. Lent deals with the human condition. And Mardi Gras represents a sort of a free-for-all, if you will, a celebration of free-for-all before you go into your fasting for Lent. So it's a time of excess, a time of debauchery, a time of gluttony, a time to act out all the quote-unquote deadly sins, if you will, unscathed in a more celebratory sense as they lean into Lent. Mardi Gras means Fat Tuesday, so that represents the last day, if you will, of Mardi Gras here in New Orleans. It represents the culmination of the ongoing festival, which has already started. There are parades, there are parties, there are balls, there are debutante balls, there are crew balls. There are a range of events that go on at the local level with this season, if you will. For many of you, the holiday season ended with New Year's. For us, that's just the beginning. You still have 12 days of Christmas, and then you have Mardi Gras. And for many of us, there's even St. Joseph's Day, which falls, I believe, this year on March 17th. So our holiday season is greatly extended because of that. Many people still have their Christmas tree up and have undressed the tree and have redressed it now in Mardi Gras colors, which are gold, purple, and green. So there's a lot that goes into this holiday, this tourist event, if you will, this party in the city of New Orleans that many don't have the details about. Now, the flip side of that is, or mirroring that Mardi Gras celebrating, is Carnival. And many locally would segregate the two by culture. If not race, definitely by culture. Mardi Gras is often viewed to be a white, tourist, middle class, a wealthier person's event. Carnival is viewed pretty much like it's viewed in other parts of the Pan-African world as a cultural celebration of us. And these two things here in New Orleans specifically operate simultaneously. almost like Camelot, you know, through the veil. You either see one thing or you see the other based on your awareness, based on your knowledge, based on your experience, based on your history. Many will tell you that what I see uptown on my side of town during Mardi Gras and what goes on in the Ninth Ward, what goes on Claiborne, what goes on in the Seventh Ward is very different. They're a totally different experience. And to share them all and to be a part of them all is a blessing if you can ever manage to do so. There are parades that begin from one end of town, parades that begin from another end of town, which, you know, automatically brings into play the dichotomy of culture and neighborhood and tradition. There are the baby dolls. There's the skeleton, which are very African-based traditions. And hopefully we will get Baba Adeyemi in on the phone lines, and he can talk about that a little bit more for us today from a Nigerian perspective, and help to bridge that gap in understanding for you. Many of us are still operating as if we are separate. You know, you have the African-American and you have the African-born on the continent. And that's reinforced by politics and religion and other BS. But the reality is that we have so much more in common, particularly those of us like Baba Ifasakin and myself who live in the South and understand on the ground at the grassroots level the things that we truly do share with the motherland. And Baba Ifasakin has already been to the motherland, so he can bridge that gap internally through experience, those things which are more common, which are more alike than not alike. So I'm going to go to the phone lines now. I'm going to bring Baba Ifasakin in, the elder of our show. We most certainly do appreciate you today, Baba.
Alapia. Alapia. Blessings to you, Prince Ty, and to our audience. I want to give thanks, of course, to Olodumare, without whom nothing at all would exist, and give thanks to Ifa Orumila, give thanks to Eshu, and give thanks to Egungun, our ancestors, who we will be spending a lot of time talking about today, and give thanks to all of the Orisha, Obatala, who is the considered father of all Orisha, to Ogun, guardian of justice and the great hunter and warrior, Shango, also a great warrior and king, to Oshun, the great Orisha of mothering and nurturing, and love, of great power, especially the power, the cleansing and cleansing and curing power of fresh water. And to Olokun, the power of the ocean and the wealth and life-giving force of the ocean. And I give thanks to all of the Orisha, all of the Orumale, whom Olodumare has put in place to help us to live good lives here on earth, Ashe. And I want to give thanks to my Oluo, Ifashola Onifade, originally of Ede and living in Oshogbo. I give thanks to his father, who is the Araba of Ede. And I give thanks to the entire Onifade family, who is spiritually my family. I give thanks to all of the Babalaos and the Yanifas and all that they be in Nigeria, especially in Oshogbo, who have helped me to get where I am today and who continue to help me through their prayers. Ashe. I give thanks to all of our listeners who help us to spread the word of our true African culture, our true spiritual heritage. And with that said, I will turn back to you, Prince Ty, and we will proceed in all blessings. Ashe.
Ashe. Thank you. We most certainly appreciate you for that. Baba Ella Waboon, are you online with us? Okay. We're having problems with him calling in from Nigeria again. I'm not sure what the deal is. It looks like he's trying to use Skype. But he's not staying on online for very long. So we're going to take just a brief intermission, again, see if we can work out the issue with the phone lines and try to bring him in. Are you there, Baba?
I'm here.
Yes.
Yes, we are live on the air.
I'm here. How about that, buddy? Oh, boy. What did you say?
I swear, boy, what for? What? Yeah. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you. And you?
Yeah, I'm good. Yeah, good day. Good day to everybody. So, am I on?
Yes, you are.
On the pod.
Yes, we're live on here right now. And we are talking today specifically about the masquerades. Carnival, Egungun's, and many of our listeners are not aware that these practices, these traditions that we now participate here in New Orleans are originally of Nigeria and West Africa, and we want to sort of bridge the gap of understanding, if you will, for our listening audience. So we would like to have you talk about the Egun societies and the masquerades and the carnival from the Nigerian perspective, and we're going to compare that, if you will, mirror that against what we're doing here in New Orleans right now.
Okay. First of all, Abaru Aboye, to everybody, if I start Daniel Gun. How are you today?
Doing good.
Yeah. I pray homage to God the Lord Almighty. I pray homage to my Ifa Mekin Gundaka. I pray homage to my father, to my mother, to my Oluwo Ojibono, and my Yanifa. I pray homage to the world at large. To homage to Yami. So, Egungun masquerade, Egungun abala, Alago bale, Egungun, you know, we all know masquerade. Over, you know, in Yoruba land, we celebrate masquerade. We have a big festival of masquerade every year. In each town, cities, masquerade come out, different type of masquerade. But Egungun, we have three type of Egungun. We have three type of Egungun. Egungun paka. Egungun paka is the Egungun that usually come out with a good dress, with a attire dress, cover his face, dancing, and that is Egungun paka. We also have
Baba. And what does that Egun represent? And what does he represent?
Yes, Egungun Paka, he represents those are our ancestors.
Mm-hmm.
Ancestors that passed away, you know, you might believe that Egungun is an ancestors. Those are passed away, those are gone, that are gone. So we use Egungun to celebrate them. So Egungun come out in different colors. You know, but in Yoruba language, so many type of egungun. That's egungun for the warriors. The warriors have their own egungun warriors. That one particular egungun that usually come out once in a year, just a day. Maybe that something happened. You know, egungun, different type of egungun, but they are very useful. Maybe something going on now in the town that is a bad thing. I mean, maybe some bad things have been happening, disasters are happening. So in Yoruba, they will make one particular ebo. So, but egungun, one particular egungun is so egungun jagun, egungun for the warriors. Is the one that will go and carry that sacrifice to Eshu or to the bush to wherever. So that's a gungun, not usually come out every year. Not every year. Once they need him, he will come out. So a gungun alasho, a gungun elegbe, a gungun come out to the king over in a year. The first come out, different type of egungun in a different household. They will come out with the drum, singing. They will go to palace and dance for the king. They will make a prayer. So in every year that egungun come out, so egungun take all the evil in the town, all the sickness, illness, bad things, bad luck, ill luck, those that are not good in the town, in the family. Egungun will take it off. Egungun will clean the community. Egungun will clean the state. So Egungun will clean everything, everywhere. So all the bad things in the town, whenever Egungun come out, after the festival, you will not hear anything bad in the town anymore. The town will be clean. Everybody will be, new things will be coming out. Egungun, we celebrate Egungun. Also, we will celebrate Egungun to celebrate our ancestors. Those are passing away. So those Egungun that come out, the drum will be, there will be drum will be there, talking drum will be talking. They will make an oriki for the Egungun that will die. Your father used to do like this when he was alive. Your father it should be like this. Your father, this is the name of your father. You know, those that hear what the drums sing, you go, oh, yes, yes, it's true. Yes, 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 yes. Everybody will be happy. So, you might believe that the tradition will be that whenever you go come out, oh, my ancestors, they're out. My ancestors, they are here. All during the Egungun time, all those that pass away, that they are gone, they will come. Their spirits will come down and hear what their son is doing, what their family is, what is going on with the family, what's going on with their children. So it's the right time for everybody to go, okay, my father, mine is here now. So prayer, everything you say, even go we hear it, ancestor will hear it, he will take it. Then they make it happen. And prayer will be answered during Egungun. So, like Egungun Baba is your father's. Anybody that doesn't have father anymore, your father is passed on. So you automatically have to have Egungun. But sometimes not particularly the one that usually come at the masquerade. No, you can have something we call opaku. Those that if I can, that's what I'm saying. You can have opaku to say ancestors of death. You can have objects of egungun. You don't have father anymore. You don't have mother anymore, or you don't have both anymore. Objects that cover. That is that object. You have ancestors' objects. You can have that and place somewhere. You can have your father pictures surround that object or at the back of that object. So whenever you go there, that means you are going to talk to your father. You are going to talk to your ancestors. So that's the object of ancestors. So if you have that object of ancestors, you can place it at the corner of your, maybe in your temple or in your house, whatever. You have your picture of your ancestors, those that are passing away, you can have it there. So whenever you go there, that means you are going there to speak to your ancestors. So, Igungun, there's also come in form of celebration, you know, that make people happy. Now, some of you are dancing very, very well. Igungun dance very, very well. If you want to see dancing, you watch Igungun. That's the one Igungun we call Gelebe. Yeah. Gelebe, dance very, very well. You see dancing, people, everybody come out when the Igungun festival, everybody come out. I want to go and see how we will dance this year. I want to go and see the dress that he will put on this year. You know. So, Igungun, they have power. Igungun have power. Igungun have time. That's the type of Igungun over here that they also do magic. Igungun perform magic. When you perform magic, different type of things, it will change to lion. Some change to lion, some change to tiger, some change to crocodile, some change to snake. You know, they will do the magic, they will change. You will see one type of Igungun, we call it Igungun Onije, Yekiye. He has a bed, you see the feeders, all his body, feeders, nothing else. Feeder on his fly. If you see him here, if you look up, like you find him on the roof of the house. You see him on top of the house, the roof. You'll be there. Ah. If you look a second, you're on another roof. So they use Igungun, you know, they perform magic, they move from one place to another, disappear, now come back. You know, everybody happy, you know, do type of Igungun. Happiness. Everybody, you know, you go, you see different type of things. Igungun can change, be fire starts coming up. Papa. That's one type of Igungun over here. It will lie down, they will take the grass, the firewood, so they will put a fire on top of him, they will set him on fire. They will set him on fire. The fire starts burning. In the next 5-10 minutes, it will come out. You come out of the fire, nothing will happen to him. So Igungun, they are very, very powerful, very, very powerful, strong. So that we are a different type of Igungun like that. But as some Igungun, they don't do the magic like that. They don't do all they are doing is dancing, performance. They will perform for you. They will perform you. They will, you know. They will do so many things, so you will enjoy yourself. You know, next year I'll come back and see you. You know, so a lot of Igungun, they come out with Aba, they come out with Ashe, so they will make a prayer for everybody. They make a prayer. They will tell everybody to make your own prayer because they are with Ashe. Igungun, they are with Ashe every time because they have it in their body. No, Igungun is not an ordinary person. He's not an ordinary person. Not just a woman being like me or like you. So, Igungun, they're not an ordinary person. They come with Ashe, they're with Aba, they're with Ashe. Whatever they say, whatever the prayer Igungun make, it will be so. During that time, Igungun come on. Yes.
Baba, if you could just elaborate on this for us a bit about the Igungun being very fast to act. So like when we call on our ancestors, how quickly they are to act, which is why we call on them to help in times of trouble and say that they come in and they will take away all the negativity. So if you can just talk about how the Igungun come, how the ancestors come, and they act quickly. I know in most cases we call on a goon goon, they act even more quickly to take care of problems for us than the Orisha. So if you could elaborate on that, please.
To make your ancestors, you're going to go hard quickly. It depends, because maybe, for example, now, someone that before his father passed on, maybe they don't see each other, or he does not do any good things. His father is not happy with him before he died, before he passed on. His father is not happy with him, or they're not in good time, not in good condition before he passed on. He does say that your father is gone, then you come back home. Then that's all. They don't have a good relationship before he pass on. That kind of person, if you call his ancestor to hear his prayer, it may be very difficult. They may come because it's their blood that's running in his vein. But they may not be happy with him. Whatever he's doing, he's just standing there and looking at him like this. So that's why we are telling that you have to try to be good to your parents before they pass on, so that whenever you call your ancestors, they will answer you. But for those that his father, his mother, they are very good relationship, they are good family before they pass on, whenever he calls them, he calls them in the right way. Then if you have the right object for them, wow. If you call them and give them what they want, they act fast, because the same blood running in your vein and them, so they act fast. Okay, because they are all looking. You know, Yoruba, Africa, we don't believe that anybody die. No. We believe that he goes to rest. So whenever you call them, you come and answer you. So if you don't call your ancestors with a good mind, good faith, they act fast than any other thing, because you are my son, she's my daughter. So they watch us. If anything happens to you, they watch you. My daughter, my son is in trouble. So if you call them, right, they will come and answer you and take you out of that trouble. And all the negativities you are in, problem, my father, come and help me. They will come. They act fast.
Yeah.
But because they are like, no more a human being, they are spirit.
Right.
They are spirit.
Like
they act fast.
Right. And the way I tell people all the time is that Egungun, the spirit of our ancestors, they are family. Regardless of whether they are in this physical life, you know, family is family, regardless of whether they're in this physical life with us or if they are just in spiritual life, if they are in the spiritual realm. And
yeah,
good family will always come and help you. Good family, just like if a child gives proper respect to his mother and father, the mother and father will always help the child. So just like you're saying, if we give our ancestors, we give our gungun what they want, if we give them proper respect and greet them the way we're supposed to greet them, they will be very fast to respond to our needs.
Yes. Yes. If you're, that's why we are telling, you know, our children, teach your children respect, how to respect the elders. Teach them how to respect their father, their mother, their brothers, their uncles, their family. Not because of today, it's because when you are old, then you pass on. So that your children, whenever they need you, can come and help them. You see, nowadays, I don't know, maybe because of civilization and how things stand now, that hardly you see the child respect the elders. They don't anymore. You know, because we're in a computer's age, you know, everything has technology. Is it because of technology, civilization, or, you know, although it's good to have a good relationship with our parents before they pass on. That is the key. Iwori Obara said that. You know, Iwori Obara said that. So, you know, Iwori Obara, if a certain man is in trouble, you know, yeah, his things is not moving well, is financially poor, nothing happened, no job, no nothing. So, you know, says, okay, you now go to Babalawo to consult Ifa that the Iwori Wodin. Ayobere, Idondobale, in some of the project, but Kerebugo. I never found worry. So, then I'm about like, Iwori. He's having a trouble with father before his father passed on. They are not in good conditions. So, when his father passed on, things started rough for him. Everything that he do not prosper. You go to look for a job, don't get a job. He get a job, if he work for a month or two or 6 months, they fire him. So that's okay. You will now go to Babalawo to consult Ifa. Ifa now say, where is your father? Say, your father is died. He said, yes. You have a problem with your father before he died. He said, yes. See, that is why that you are not, your life is miserable. You need to go and plead to your father. Go and plead to your father. My father is passed on. Yes. Go to his burial and plead. You need to, if I say, get a gin and the e-goat. Gin and the e-goat. You need to go and plead to your father. So that if your father forgive you, everything will be starting moving well for you. He said, okay. So, he do as Babalawo prescribed to do. He give his father gin. He give his father, sacrifice his father e-goat. Then, he do a little party, little just to get away for his father as a, you know, as a prayer, and everybody eat, everybody dancing. Since then, things started moving well for Iwori. He now sing. He now say, this is what my Babalawo said so. Say, Ayobere, Idondobalewu, Nisomo Legbe Kere, Gungun Kere, Gudu, Adiva Iwori. So, the Dana Babaye, Lai Lai Ri, Moroti Ogulugba, Iwori, Wodi, Motana. He said, I buy Jim. So, my father, so I settled with my father. So, his father said, okay, his father not forgive him. Since then, things now starting moving well for Iwori. So, these phases, this, if I wasn't testify that it's good for us to have a good relationship with your father. Your father, they may, sometimes some people will be like, my father is not good to me. If you decide not to be good with him, because your father is the one that brought you here. Your mother is the one that brought you here. Sometimes our parents, sometimes they may wrong. They wrong. They used to wrong us. Don't tell them you want to wrong them. Or because your father wronged you, you didn't want to forgive them. No, because if you don't forgive them, the God will not forgive you. So if you don't forgive them, God will not forgive you. So in a tradition, if your father wrong you, my father told you this also things. Just you, with respect, talk to your father with respect. Ah, my son. Your father will say sorry. I'm sorry. Forgive me. If your father says okay, forgive me, let it go. If he say not, don't argue. Because it's still your father. You can't have another father. It's not easy for you to have a you are no more my father. I will have another father. No. So it's good for us to have a good relationship with our parents before they pass on, no matter how. Take care of your parents. You take care of them when they are alive. Definitely when they pass on, they will come and take care of you too. But if you insist that, I don't want to. Although in America is very, you know, very big country. Some friends may have been in New York, maybe in California, which is far. But try. If it is once in a year during homecoming, try. Save money before homecoming. Go and see your father. Buy gift. Make your father happy. By the time you are okay, my father, have a good time. Spend a good time with him. If you anything happen with your father, make sure you try and take care of him. So if your father happy with you, will never pray that if ever he pray for you, it will be so. Prayer from our parents is the most that God recognizes most. Prayer from your parents. God recognizes that one most. If your parents pray for you, it will be so. Like nothing, nobody can stop that.
Ashe.
God
Baba, if you want, I wanted to jump in too and say that we too here have more than one type of egungun, if you will, particularly if we look at New Orleans culture. We have the Mardi Gras Indian, which is a form of egun, and it represents our maroon state, if you will, as slaves. Many of the slaves escaped into the bayous and into the wilderness and began to intermarry with the indigenous people who are already here. There are even some historians that teach, such as Noble Paul and Queen Kett, that the African presence was already here. In the Americas, but it was intermixed with the indigenous culture, and the European was not able to distinguish that. So when we have Carnival, we mask off, not just as Africans, but we also mask as Indians, as Native Americans. But we also mask as skeletons, and the skeletons sound a lot like the egungun that you talked about, that sort of brings justice to the community. The skeletons are treated in a frightful way. When they show up on Mardi Gras Day, people get to screaming and running, particularly women and children. And the belief is that if you're touched by one, you could die on the spot.
Mm.
So people are not allowed to touch the Indians or the skeletons, but particularly the skeletons, when they're masked during Mardi Gras. Something else I wanted you to talk about was how these traditions are passed down through the family. Here in New Orleans, the whole tradition of Mardi Gras, from the beading, the masking, the sewing, the songs that go with it, the drum patterns that go with it, are often passed down through families or someone who's given the favor of the family. Like in my case, I'm not genetically a New Orleanian, but I've been given favor from a New Orleans family to mask. So I want you to also talk about how those traditions are passed down, how the societies are created, and how they maintain the rules, because there are rules that govern how we mask, when you mask, who's allowed to know who you are, your identity. There are a whole series of rules that go along with the process, and we would like to hear you also talk about that from a Nigerian perspective, if you will. Okay.
Over there, New Orleans, they are really tried. You know, you try over there, it is like Nigeria. Africa. So New Orleans is like a second Nigeria. So I like to live in New Orleans because my brothers are there, Aujino. So New Orleans, you keep in tradition. You know, to pass things on, to family, the tradition. It depends when you have children. You have to teach your children how you don't hide what you are doing to your children. So the things will be going. If the children learn from you, you want to make homage, you make homage to his father. Then by so doing, it will not die. So over here in Nigeria, I learned from my father. And when we are doing things during the Igungo festival, there is a certain room or a certain shrine for Igungo that a few people going in. You know, but if our son is a boy, that age of 10, 15, so he can come in and see how they do things. So it's good to catch them young, when they are young, to learn from them. So by doing that, tradition will not die. So if you keep learning the young ones, so if we old, then we pass on. Our children will take over where we stopped. So by teaching our children what we are doing, our traditions, our culture, our language, giving the children name that will send them home. Name that, where does my name come from? We are Africa, so this is African name. So your name from Nigeria, Yoruba. Okay. The children, let me go and then I'll go and trace my name. Then people tell your children, learning your children, teaching them Africa, where they come from. Give them the names. If you have a children, maybe your wife is pregnant, especially the children, maybe in a month or a week. You can, I want a name for my children. You don't have any. Over here we consult Ifa, third day after the birth to know the Ifa gives the names. So by doing that, if children have a good names, they will say, now, Pastor King now. Everybody asking, where's the name come from? My name is from Africa, because I'm African. You can't just say today you're an African American, be any Asian and Arabic name or Jew name. So, but the name also helps, by bringing tradition together, make our tradition grow. Then the young ones, teach them, catch them young when they are young. Let them know what they are doing. Let them know where they are come from. Let them know what is happening. Let them know. Tell them, this is how we do this. This is how we do that. Don't send the kids away. Only bad thing that they can say, don't stay there. But that's why we just take people here. What is not good? I can't let my children see this. Don't do it. Even if it's bad thing to teach them, don't do it. you know that Judah is not good to take drugs. Don't take drugs. It's not good for Judah to take marijuana. Don't take marijuana. Leave it. Let it go. It's not good. It's a bad thing. It's not good for the children to read that thing from you. Let children read good things from us. It's what we like the tradition. This is masquerade. This is how we do it. The people watching it little by little. But they will learn. They will learn. But then they will grow. They know more. Even they even know more than we know. So they will travel, come here and say, okay, this is how they do it over here too. You see what we're doing over here. Add it to our, the way you do it over there. So it will make it more stronger, you know, more powerful, more powerful. So by keeping, by teaching our children and show them now, if we have my kids now. My daughter, she's 3 years. She's learning now. She know that in the morning when she woke up, she'll come and get her father. That is a good morning. You pray for your children. Good morning. You pray. Then the next thing you go and greet your father. I make a prayer there. Then take your bag and go to school. When you come back, go and greet your father. Go and greet your father. So then the children, they will be used to it. So nobody, then children, the knowledge. So nobody just come to them and say, ah, what you are doing is wrong. What you are doing is wrong. The evil. This is a, take this. The children, what is not true. Now, this is the Bible. Moses do this. Jesus do this. But, it's okay, when Jesus do that, Olumide also do this. Olumide do that. Whenever they preach for them, if anybody come preach, I preach to them too. Right, this guy. Okay, is that what he did? Okay, when did he do that? He did that in Jerusalem. Okay. I will not tell what Olumide did in my own Oshogbo. He was here. It's in the Bible. America. When I went to travel to Europe, I will tell you. So, Jesus will never come here. No, he never come to Africa. He only will do what he's doing in Israel and Egypt. So, that's the only way that he passed. No, even if he passed beyond Egypt. So, I also teach them. So, if they know what they are doing, nobody would come and them, they want to change them. If they know what they are doing, teach them what they need to know. So everybody will come to them, okay, is that what he did? Okay, this is what my own did too. So, singing, drumming, dancing is part of it. It's because some people don't like when you just keep talking without any singing or let's dance. You see, in church, the priest for 30 minutes, the pastor talks, they will dance, singing for about 5 minutes. And everybody will be up here, You know, I was a woman said that I usually go to church, not because of anything, to dance, to sing, to hear this. That's all. So then, singing also is part of it. We are traditionally the one do singing, music. We do music than them, but they steal it. They have the steal because they know because we have everything. We have guitar, we have drums, everything. Then we have some different type of dancing, Sango has his own dancing, Oya has his own dancing, Igungun has his own dancing, Ifa has his own dancing, Ogun has his own dance. So we have different type of dance. So, sing music is part of it to make this our culture grow. Music is part of it. When you teach them, then maybe you teach for 30 minutes, music for 20 minutes. It will make a kid come the next day. But if there's not any music, any drum, that is too boring. I'm bored. Well, if you give them music, everyone shake your leg, shake your booty, shake your anything. Then they will come. Let's, oh, singing, music is also part of it to make tradition moving. Music is very, very part of it. Then knowledge. Teach them knowledge, culture, tradition. Teach them how they dress. Yeah. They also teach them.
Papa, can I interrupt you with something? Regarding teaching our children, I think one very important thing that we need to teach is what you touched on a little earlier was the concept of forgiveness and forgiving our parents for things they do wrong, and we have to forgive them in order for all of the Mari to forgive us for the things that we do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's becoming more and more of a problem, or maybe more of, it's becoming more known, a problem of really physical abuse, even sexual abuse by parents and other elder family members, uncles, aunts, you know, sexually abusing the children. And I know I have come across many clients and students who were actually raped by a parent or an uncle or a cousin or something like this. And how can we teach these people who have been through such horrible experiences at the hands of their own parents or their own aunts and uncles and cousins, how can we teach them to forgive these people so that they can be forgiven? How can we teach them to forgive the father that raped the woman as a little girl, and then teach her to honor her ancestors and to turn to them for help? How do we teach that when there's been such horrible abuse taking place?
Is it? That kind of act is not a good thing, to be happening, in the black community. Every day, although, first of all, I'm going to say, anybody that went through that kind of horrible thing before, very sorry for them. God will give them strength and because to make them, even more strength, so then they forgive. But I will tell anybody that is in kind of situation before that it happened. If you can't, that's the point. Anyway, the man that said do all this, it may be your father, your uncle, your brother, whatever. That point, before he died, before that kind of person died, he will definitely be punished by God. That's not, he can do about it. It will definitely be punished before he died. That's for sure. If you look at the evildoer, whenever they do anything evil, anything wrong thing, if you watch them very, very well, before they died, you can't go scot-free. So I want to tell those that happened before, don't worry. or not okay, you want to take revenge, or you want to take judgment from your hand. No, 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 no. Just leave that person to God and to your own creator. You have your own creator that creates you. Your own creator knows that what this man overdo, whatever your uncle or brother did to you, is wrong. You have your own creator. Watch. Everybody just write today's down. The one man said something on the radio. And they keep eyes on that person. Don't say you want to revenge or you want to hurt him, whatever. No, just keep eyes on him before he died. You see what will happen to him. They cannot go scot-free. They can't go scot-free. That's not. They can't escape it. If they don't do that to their own daughter, you see, now watch what will happen to that man himself.
Right.
So,
now,
they cannot go scot-free.
Right. I have another question on that. Now, is it possible, and this is how I'm teaching my students, is it possible then that a person can still turn to their egungun, they can call on their ancestors without including the spirit of that person who abused them? So let's say, for instance, a woman's father has you know, attacked her when she was a child and did so for years. All right, then her father dies. Can that woman go and pray to her ancestors and receive the help of her ancestors without including the spirit of her father?
And to add to that, I think we also need to include an understanding about unknown ancestors. Because I think for many Africans here in America, there's a total breakdown and disconnect from even grandparents, great-grandparents. They don't know the father's side of the family. They don't know the mother's side of the family. You know, so I think to include in that, I think we should talk about how to recognize, honor the unknown ancestor. And by the way, we do have a caller with their hands raised waiting to get in.
That's where the ancestors are useful. They're very useful in this kind of situations. Never it happens. If that man is from the same family or whatever, call your ancestors. Call your father, your grandfather. Call on them. Call them to come and fight for you. They will fight for you because the man is already wronged you. They will come and fight for you. You will see. They will fight for you. That person may just go and do something, small thing. Then they will put him in jail forever. You will not see him anymore.
So, Chicago caller 773,
the line is open. Yes. So this is where the ancestors useful most. You know, here we used to say something. Yeah. It was that you wrong me, but Ajobi Oda. Ajobi means the Ajobi family. Because you are family, you know. You are the same blood that's running our vein, your uncle, you are the same thing, your family. So that's a bind that binds you together. That's something that binds all of you together like that. But over there, you don't know. You know, that's why it's very real. You see, one family, my uncle, to rape my... No, you can't see because what he's doing is dangerous. So that's something... That thing you call family. It's a strong word over here. It's my over here we don't have uncle. We don't have my auntie, no. If anybody older, my father brother, you call, is my father. So we don't, so if you answer English, like, to make your answer, like, my uncle, my auntie, you don't say my uncle, my auntie, my aunt. Your uncle is your father, okay, but it's your father, you know, it's so that it's not to be your father. It's not enough to be your father. So it's your father. So we don't call uncle, auntie, no, so yeah. So that's something that's bad, which we guys that we call family. So that family, that's the same blood. He's the same blood. So that's something that is with that person is with the soul. But I follow your role, take your role, and that's the thing. So I want to encourage. What we wanted to be angry, then it's make this thing go worse than we expect. But you can call ancestor to fight for you. If you don't call ancestor, your creator will fight for you. That's that one for sure. Don't say you're hungry.
Okay. Baba, your call is breaking up just a little bit. I don't know if you're moving around or what. But we can barely make out what you're saying right now. If you can fix that somehow. And Chicago caller 773, your line is open. 773, did you have a question or a comment? Okay, they're not responding. Oh, go ahead, Baba. You're breaking up though. Your signal is weak.
Okay. So, it's very thing, your creator will fight very fast for you. That's why that's what you can compare with tradition, culture, you call someone is your family, is your brother, is your uncle, your aunt. That person wronged you, do anything bad, that's worse to you. Wow. You know, for doing
so
that, it costs. That person.
Baba, what you're saying, though, then, is that our ancestors would also fight that same person who is doing the abuse. And
yeah. No.
Then let's say a person who has been abused, if that person is honoring their ancestors, then it is okay for them to bypass the spirit of that
never.
Person.
Never. Never.
No.
No. The ancestors, they are spirit. They know the right thing to do. They're not a human being.
Okay.
Not a human being anymore. They are spirit. They know that this man is he just want to bribe them. Or they know that okay, what you do is wrong. They will punish. And nothing can do about that.
Right.
You know.
So then
it's already put cost on himself for you to rape. Your auntie or your sister's daughter, it's a curse already. That's why it's a curse.
Okay. All right, so then.
It's taboo. Taboo.
Right, so then
it's
the thing to do.
That is forbidden.
Right, so then the thing to do is to recognize that the spirit of that person is greater than that person was as a human being. That in spirit, that person knows the right thing to do, and that spirit will do the right thing as our ancestor, even if they did not do the same thing when they were in this human life. Correct?
Yes. The spirit, they know the right thing to do. They know the right thing. If they did it wrong, you now say, okay, you now go to the ancestor. No. They just keep watching him like this. Because when he did it, they are there, they know. You can't bribe them.
come, okay, because they want to bribe, you want to go and bribe, if I went to go and bribe them. They're not the police, they're not a judge. As a woman, chief justice, to bribe. No, you can't bribe them. They know the right thing to do. First of all, for him to do that, it's a curse. Because what it is forbidden, it's taboo, it's not two things. Because it, over here, is everything may die. Everything die, but forbidden things, taboo is not that, it's still remaining. Say, this thing, don't do it. If you do it, you will see what will happen. So, for anybody that say, okay, to rape someone, to rape woman, to go and molest the young, you know, it's taboo, it's a curse. That person has already put curse on himself, on his own children. He put curse on them. You know, there's nothing anybody can do about this. It will be punished by our ancestor, by God. It will be punished because it's a curse already. You know, let me tell you. Over here, that's the things that Europeans they see. In Africa, and they came. What you are doing is not they take the important thing from us. They destabilize Africa. They take our goods, our everything, our house, our goods here. They destroy everywhere because they know that we have everything. If anybody in the olden days, even before we are born. If you go to rob someone, if they catch you, they will behead that person's head to come up to go strike. So that don't do wrong. There's nothing you can do wrong. If you do wrong, Ogun is there to punish you. Don't do this. Do it. There's nothing you can't hide. If you hide from police, there's something that you can't hide from. Like you cannot hide. We do what we do as we expose you.
Very nice.
Then you will be punished. There's nothing you can't escape it. Before he died, he will be punished. Before he lived this earth, he will be punished. So, don't do this. It's here. But if you want to do it, that person will die.
Area code 773, your hand is raised. Did you have a question or a comment?
Yeah, yes. Yes, I do.
Please move forward.
Afternoon.
Go ahead.
Good afternoon, brothers. Brother Divine, good afternoon.
Some
all right, this is Brother Ezra from Chicago. This is a very, very, very interesting topic, dealing with ancestors. I conducted a genealogy, and I'm speaking on African Americans who actually do not do any genealogical research on who their ancestors are. And, you know, and so I'm glad to hear your brothers expounding on that, how important it is to call upon the ancestors. Now, I guess the question I have is this. When you're dealing with ancestors and you're dealing with African culture and, you know, African spirituality, most of African Americans here, we take names, African names, and not really know the significance of the name, the meaning of the name, and how important that name is once it's attached to that life soul, when the baby is born. So how important it is for an African-American who wants to return back to his African culture, but if he doesn't have a connection on which culture that may be, you know, for instance, I give you an example, someone who practiced the Akan Abusum tradition, whatever you want to call it. But that person may not have been of that Akan or Ashanti lineage. So how important it is for an African American to, you know, to accept, to get a name, ask a name, partake in African spirituality, and not even do their own, like, family genealogy or research on this side of the Atlantic. How important is that? If you want to go ahead and expound on that for me, please.
There's more than one way to find out one's actual lineage, one's genealogy. And DNA, genetic testing, that's one scientific method of accomplishing that. Another is through spiritual reading, through divination, to find out where we are from. Some people here in the States do that reading, and they call that a roots reading, to find out where you're from. But beyond that, we must realize how closely tied all these different cultures of Africa are, especially in West Africa, where most of our enslaved ancestors came from. They may have different languages and different names for various spiritual entities and the different rites of passage that they go through and everything, but if you examine the deeper concepts of each thing, regardless of by what name it is called, it is all very similar. It all leads back to really the same roots. It all leads back to the origin of man, which is the motherland, Africa. Now, some people may want to personally get closer to where their actual family is from, and I'm not knocking that at all. That's actually, you know, something very good to know, and it's a tremendous feeling to reach back to Africa and find out exactly where you're from, find out exactly who your people are, and exactly what they practice and what their culture is. That's all very good. Especially in the sense of connecting with your ancestors. But still, we can be connected even if we don't have access to all of those genetic details. We can be connected with our ancestors, although we may not know their actual names or who exactly they actually were, what they did in the communities there. We can be connected really by calling on our ancestors, honoring our ancestors. Baba Adeni Elebuiban touched earlier on having Opaiku, which is the staff of the ancestors, specifically pertaining to your male ancestry. So your fathers, grandfathers, great-grandfathers, all of these males in our history. Now, regardless of whether we know who they are, they are still represented by Opaiku, which is the ancestral object that we use when we want to focus on our male ancestors and call upon them for assistance. Baba Adeni Elebuiban, would you like to expound upon that?
His call has dropped, and so far he hasn't showed up on the switchboard.
Okay. Well, Prince Tai, I'm sure you have some input on that one.
It's most definitely important. As I was saying just before I took your call, even the recognition of the unknown ancestor, I think, is crucial to us bringing back wholeness as individuals, but also as a community. Now, as with anything, even in terms of just, you know, studying the religion. You know, we have a whole community of people out there who sort of have a romance with the religion, but they have not stepped forward and made any commitment, taken any more direct action in terms of crystallizing that knowledge. So I think as we have access to resources, we should do all that we can, even if it is the DNA testing, to try and get some understanding in terms of who our family is, where we come from. Even here in the States, we're very cut off, as I said earlier, even from grandparents. Many of these fatherless households are raising generations of people who don't know an entire side of their family and remain out of communication with them, even when, you know, by way of the internet and other means, that may be rebridged and repaired. And I think it's important that at any occasion that we can do so, that we should do so. But clearly from a spiritual perspective, the lack of knowledge of your direct family or your direct lineage, I don't think is as important if you're being authentic in your call and in your honor of our family that exists in the spirit realm. You may not know them, but they know you. So it's definitely important to recognize them symbolically in any way that we can manage to do so in terms of our ritual life, our spiritual life, to gain the assistance of those ancestors. Did you have another question, beloved?
Yeah, one last question. This is very quick, very quick. I know the brother, I didn't get his name, the one who spoke before you, Brother Divine. What's his name again?
Bob Ojolo, John Foster Keen.
Okay, yeah. Maybe I addressed this to him, I'm sorry. I know you mentioned genetic testing, DNA testing, and you also mentioned roots reading. And this may be kind of like, I don't know, the question is, does the two, so say for like instance, someone does a DNA test, a genetic test, and it says that their DNA match with the people who live in Mali. But then when you do a roots reading, the roots reading said the person roots is from the Igbo people of Nigeria. So now is there a conflict with the two testing, or is that you have ancestors from different lineage, and at the time that you did the roots reading, or the person had that roots reading done, is it that ancestor or that lineage was more prominent or pronounced or more vocal, however you want to put it, than maybe the ancestor from Mali?
Well, the genetic testing to check for ancestry will usually only deal with the paternal lineage, and not with the maternal, the mother's lineage. Unless you pay a lot of extra money, because I think if you want a... genetic testing... Yes, but if you want... Yes, Baba, one second. I'm in the middle of answering a question. If you are paying to get the genetic testing to find out your lineage, and you want the maternal side as well as the paternal side, I believe that the cost is like almost three times as much. So that the cost is a prohibiting factor. So usually when you go and get that kind of testing, it's usually only paternal. Whereas the spiritual reading, the roots reading, will not be limited to paternal or maternal. It will take both into consideration. Also, what we have to consider is the migration of African people.
Right.
Every Igbo stayed in the area generally known for the Igbo culture right now. people did move around. So although you may get the genetic testing, which says, okay, you came from Mali, but we don't know, was there a group of Igbo people who migrated over to Igbo from your mother's side and the Mali from your father's side? We have to take into account the travel, the migrational patterns of people through time. So I would not say that those two are in conflict. I would say one takes more into consideration than the other.
Okay. Because I did have both tests done. I had a roots reading, and I also had a DNA test done. And on my paternal lineage, it said that my paternal lineage, it just mentioned, see, Bantu, that word Bantu is so broad, it doesn't give you an extra group. It just says that my father's lineage is from that Bantu migration of Bantu people. But on the roots reading, it said my maternal lineage were from Igbo. I don't know. So, yeah, well, maybe. I don't know. Kind of
literally.
Well,
the thing is, to in our roots reading, then, is to find out more by asking more questions. A lot of times, people will go for a roots reading and they will receive information that, my family's from Senegal. And then they'll leave it at that. All right, but then we who are seeking the knowledge of our ancestry need to go and ask further questions. Like, okay, my people are from Senegal, but, is that my maternal family or my paternal family? Did my family come from somewhere else before that? Or did they go somewhere else after that? We need to ask these questions.
Okay.
Right? Because answers to the questions that you ask. And if you ask a question and then just leave it at that, you may have far less than half the story. So you have to dig deeper, ask further questions.
Now, with the
and
person
those
doing it, I'm sorry.
Will be answered through divination, through the spiritual reading.
I want to take the time, the moment, too, to bring in Erico 504. Your line is open. Who's with us? Erico 504, Nola Neighbor. Okay, we'll come back to you. Baba, Ella, boom, your line is open.
Okay.
And we were talking.
Okay.
And Baba,
we're talking about
getting in touch with our ancestry and find out where we're from and acknowledging the ancestors that we don't know, Baba.
Mm-hmm. So, our ancestors, is there anybody you can go or ask you have a father, ask your father, who is his father? So it's good to know your father's name, your grandfather's name, your great-grandfather's name. If you can see now the baby, the new child that they are born now. Those are our ancestors. I think they are coming back. They are coming back. So they are coming back. You see, if you see your grandfather or your great-grandfather, your father will tell you, my grandfather, I think he looked like this one when he was alive. They may look alike. They may resemble him, you know. So your ancestors, that the one that they can tell you, that the one that you can believe most, because your ancestors, they love you, than more than anybody in life. They love you. Your ancestors, they want the best for their children. For those that they left here. So every year, during a festival, my father, he give a ram to his father, to my grandfather. So during, if you go to his, during that, he talks, whenever you want them to pick that off, he will tell you, okay, go and take out that. So that's what Muslim people do. They give ram during the we call it the year. They give ram in the years, that's for sacrifice for the Muhammad. But my man, he has no father. He has no children. Now they all die. So whoever follow him can offer sacrifice for him. So you can also do that sacrifice to your parents, to your ancestors. Those are the past on. Give him a ram. Now see what he will bring for you. What he will send to you. If you give ram to your ancestor, that means you write a letter. It's like you write a letter to someone from someone living in Asia or in China. You write a letter. You will have to receive your letter. Oh, my friend, remember me. Okay, you will reply you back. Okay, so if you give a ram to your father as a sacrifice, to your ancestor, your ancestor will also send a blessing to you. Anything you want, send a blessing to you from the heaven. So that's nothing you can. You can't forget your ancestors. Know your father. Know your mother. Ask your father, who is your grandfather, your great grandfather, what's his name? Ask your history. Your father, he may have something to tell you. He may tell you something about your grandfather. Your grandfather may tell you something about his great grandfather. By doing, you are knowing the history of yourself. So you start learning by where you come. You live. From that, you know where you come from. You may know. My grandfather told me we are like this. My great grandfather told me it's like this. You may learn from that. So your ancestors, they are the one that you can't say, okay, I don't have anything to do with you anymore. No, you can't do that. It's not possible. So you can't forget your roots. That's your roots. Why you are coming? Africa is your roots. Some people, you can't say you are talking about Africa, America, without even come to Africa to see what is going on in your roots. If you can't trace your root, your ancestor will die without you coming to Africa. So if you come to Africa to see your people, if you come be one, spend a week or 2 weeks, say, oh, I like the way they are doing, you may like it. You can't learn the culture for all of it for 2 weeks, no. But you will learn from. If you like Nigeria culture, you may like it, or you may like Mali or Ghanaian culture. It's different. Nigerian and Ghana, we are Yoruba, the same. Sometimes we do something common because they are very, very close to us. Sometimes we dress in common, So Ghanaian, Nigerian. But Mali and all that, I can't say much about them. So come visit Africa, your roots. Because everybody, we all know that all black, African, black America, they're all from here. Those people that just together, everybody, all of you can be, you will be here. So we are running our things together. Doing our things together. Moving together, have family. Africa, we have family. Then we are our family, we respect our family because we believe in family is rich. So we believe in family, we believe in tradition. Because we all live together. We are living together. My father, my brother, my uncle, my other. Oh, I told you before. Here we don't use uncle, we don't use aunt, we don't use no. We all, we don't use cousin. It's my brother, it's my sister. Because we believe we are one. So, our ancestors, they will continue to bless us and be with us. Go and some people don't even know his father over there. They don't even know his father because there's a lot of a single parent, a single mother.
Yeah.
When they broke home also affect things. Broken home, you know, home of 6 months. They don't even know his father. So, but you can know your ancestors, know where you come from. Some people decide waking up one day, okay, I want to go to Nigeria. I want to go and see Nigeria. I want to go to this Nigeria. They come. Then whenever they come, we receive them with open arms, welcome them. They have a good time here. So this is family. So in our temple over here, we eat together. We eat in one place. You can group you maybe sixes eat together. Sixes eat together. Not that you have your own plate. No, we eat together. So we share love.
You didn't have a question or a comment? New Orleans 504, are you sure you didn't want to say something with us today? We certainly appreciate all of our listeners on the phone line now at 347-215-8967. We have about 10 minutes left in the show. If you indeed have a question or comment, do press the number 1 on your telephone keypad, and we will be more than happy to address you. Asha. Go ahead, Baba.
Yeah. So we share love because we believe that the ancestors, they are watching us. They are watching whatever you do, whatever step you take, they are watching you. So that's a lot of people, they think that they can hide in their room and they are in their room are doing wrong things. If you say that if you don't see you here, what of the God? See you is watching you, what you are doing. I suppose they are watching you. If your friend can't see you in your room, what you are doing. So it's good to do good. Do good. Be nice to your brother.
So Baba, is Carnival in Nigeria seen as a secular event or a cultural event or a spiritual event? How does the average Nigerian view that in Nigeria?
Use event?
Carnival.
Carnival?
Yeah.
You know, over here, carnival just people just brought it here as carnival. It's more popular only in Lagos, but here we believe our carnival is a Gogo festival.
Mm-hmm.
So the Gogo festival, our ancestral festival, you will see a different, you know, because even in the different houses, Gogo will come out. like somebody you see like 20, 30 egungun, 30 egungun come out in one day in different attire. So their family in each one that they come out, they will dress, they will have different attires. Different dresses. They will dress different. This is family. This one is this. So we now. So that's how we celebrate. So we say that a lot of people is a dancing, you know, and we meet. Everybody will they can from this street, from this street, from other streets, from this compound, from that compound, from this one. So like every group now, everybody will dress differently, different attires. So we will now go and meet at the King Palace. So King will sit down and his chiefs, they will be there watching. Each group will now go and dance one by one. Each one will go one by one. Go and dance. The king will give him money. They will spray him money. It depends on how well you dance. So they will appreciate you by giving you money. So everybody, you know, the drumming, you know, that's how we do carnival. But now over here, people are they copy carnival that they do in diaspora. Now you know when that's one, it won't be carnival in Calabar. In the east side. That another one in Abuja, the north side, but in the, I think the country sponsored that one. So they want everybody to go and showcase their cultures. So in one, that's one in Calabar, very, very big one. Carnival, Egungun people go there, other people go there, and dancing groups. So in Calabar, everybody in all our cultural something heritage in Nigeria. So they do that, and there was one in north side in Calabar. And the federal government sponsored that. They're very, very big. I think they did that in October. So, but in Yoruba land, where we are, I know in Yoruba land, it's a Egungun festival. Egungun festival. And then it's also happened by in Egungun starting at June ending. So the whole month of July is a Egungun festival. The whole month of July.
Wow.
So Egungun, each.
New Orleans caller, we can hear you. Jump
oh,
in
I'm so,
you...
oh, I'm sorry. I couldn't get through at first. I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you, honey.
Is it okay? Did you have a question or a comment?
Yes, I did. I was wondering why I couldn't get it to work. Hi. Thank you guys for doing this. This is my first time listening into your blog talk. I have a quick question. I've been listening to you talking about tracing your lineages and everything, and with me being from here, from Louisiana, my grandmother practiced voodoo. But this is something that was kept from the rest of our family, and it wasn't passed down. So now that she's passed on and she's not here to share that knowledge, you know, how should I go about, because there's so many things that I don't even know, I don't understand, and I would like to have a broader understanding of it all. How would I go about starting my steps to understanding what exactly what that means?
Well, as a fellow New Orleanian, and
mm-hmm.
I'm saying to you specifically, first understand that what's going on in French Quarter is not voodoo.
Okay.
What's being masqueraded in New Orleans as voodoo is not voodoo. That's the first thing. The second thing is that you need to go back to the motherland, either physically
mm-hmm.
or in study or in research. And as Baba just said, begin to look at Nigeria, Togo, Benin, Ghana. Find where you feel a connection. Find where spirit is calling you to. And then begin to learn from a more Afrocentric perspective what the religion is. And by all means, invest in initiating. Actively become a part of the tradition. Now, here
mm-hmm.
locally, you know, voodoo was first bastardized because during slavery they didn't want us to have any positive connection to or imagery of our traditional African religious systems at all. So at first it was demonized and bastardized. Now here in the more modern day, it has been commercialized. So now it's a way of bringing tourists. Now it's a way of making money, if you will, rather than connecting us to the root. Now, real voodoo is going on in New Orleans. Let me be clear about that.
Okay.
One of the places that we come together is Congo Square. Now the word voodoo is kind of a misnomer because, you know, on the one hand, there are some people will try to say, well, voodoo, V-O-O-D-O-O, is a bastardization of voodooin, which is Haitian or Tago. I don't buy that. It may be a bastardization in terms of language, but in terms of it having a authentic connection to the continent, no. Once you begin to do your research, if you've been looking on my Facebook page at the posts that I put up, at the pictures that I put up,
right,
you often can't tell Togo from Yoruba land. You often can't tell Benin from Akan, because the practice in its purest form is very similar, and they all come from the same place. So once we move beyond the mishistory, the miseducation of it, the fear of it, and get to the root, we understand that it's a pure religion that is specific to us. And when I say us, I mean particularly us, here as African Americans in Louisiana. This has been a unique depository, if you will, for those traditions, which is why we do have voodoo here, which is why we do have hoodoo here, because all of those religions have always been here since before Louisiana Purchase. I'm sure if you know history, you know the French Market was one of the first things that was here. It was Africans at the French Market. Forts have always been here, okay? So there was Africans, Haitians, Caribbeans, Jews. Everything was coming into New Orleans. So the traditional systems have always had a presence here, but they've either been forced to take a more commercial route, or in order to survive authentically, they've had to go underground.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you go to the Bembes, when you go to the Misas, when you go to the voodoo ceremonies, typically it's the same group of people, whether they're initiated in Akan, whether they're initiated in Yoruba, because we support indigenous practice. But it's also a great way for you to be exposed to the various paths, to the various traditions, and then be able to make a more conscious decision in terms of where you really truly want to invest.
Wow.
So by all means, you didn't say who you were, but by all means, if you're not, start up Congo Square and see who we are. Find out what our different religious paths are. I'm considered a hoodoo practitioner in town, but I have a strong leaning towards Ifa, and I've been initiated in Lokomi and in Santeria here in the States, but I'm actually going to Asobo, Nigeria this year for the first time, as my guest, Baba Ifa Sakin, has already done, fully commit to the tradition. I'm almost 50 years. It took a lifetime for me of study, of learning, of listening to spirit to decide what I needed to do and where I needed to be. And when I did, things begin to fall in place. So Adeyemi is from Asogbo. His people have been here to New Orleans, which is one of the reasons I feel so comfortable with him. I'm not going to start calling any names because they may not want me to do that, but there are several people here in New Orleans who have initiated with this brother and in Asogbo, Nigeria. So he's a real, legitimate, authentic connection to the motherland and its traditions. Quickly, before we run out of time, too, I want to say, in my opinion, avoid the shortcuts and avoid the middleman. I wasted many years with the shortcuts.
I wasted many years trying to fit in where I was not being accepted, and believing, you know, the lie that, you know, well, they don't want you there and they're not interested in the African American. And it was Hurricane Katrina and the internet that really opened me up to not just Nigeria, but West Africa in general. And the love that I received and the reach out that I received. This brother here, Adeyemi, he, on the average, he wakes me up in the morning, you know, whether it's with a phone call, whether it's with a message. You know, how many people right here in town, you know, show us that kind of, you know, commitment,
right,
that kind of favor? So you're on the right path. You're asking the right questions. You're definitely in the right place. New Orleans is the place. We're here. It's just that, as I said, many people don't publicly identify because of what's going on with tourism and commercialism and the French Quarter and all that kind of stuff. But we're here in an authentic practice. We're here. And by all means, I'm here in any way that I can to assist you. Baba Ifa Sakin or Baba Ella Baboon might have more to say now as I relinquish the mic.
Madam, you know,
mm-hmm.
It's good that you call. Though, if your mother don't tell you what she's doing, what she passed on, that does not mean that you can't. Don't dispose them away. Keep them until you learn how you take care of them. Okay, so I've said that earlier, that whatever we do, it's good to show that our children know what we are doing so that the legacy will continue. So it's good that you call him today. So whatever that you want to know, that you want to learn about tradition, about your tradition, your culture, your ancestors, you can call me, you mail me, you can ask Baba, a divine, to give my emails, or add me on Facebook.
Okay.
Add me on Facebook, so which I will talk. Then you will learn. They will teach you. Then you will learn anything that that you want to know. You want to learn about. Will teach you. So this thing is real. We have to come back to our roots. We have our own culture. We have our own religion that is very, very rich. That is very, very good. That they know that this Lutheran that don't do that. If you don't, if you accept Jesus, or else you go to hell. This is not true. So, but we have our own culture, our own tradition that teach you that we respect the elders, know how to take care of the children, respect the children and take care of children. Do good.
Okay.
Always be nice. Don't do bad. Always have good things to do in life. Help each other. Love your loved ones. Love your brother, your sister. Take care of people that are around you. So our religion, tradition teach all that. Respect the headers. That is headers. You have to know how to respect them. That we, you know, in Nigeria, in Africa, African teach you how to respect your headers. Whenever you want to greet a header, you have to prostrate. That is my header. Prostrate. Men prostrate, women kneel down to give the elders. That, you know, our own language, our Yoruba language teaches respect. You know, that's the way to, I will speak to you as my elder. That's the way you, you know, the language you used to talk to me as a junior one. So, but English not like that. So, African is real. Don't listen to what they are saying on the TV or watch what they are saying on TV. They always show you Somalia or Mali, where there's a war. They also show you Bush, the woman, the little baby, the child that is not sick. they don't ingest them, but they ingest the child. The child is with skinny. So you see, Africa, they are dying. They are dying in Africa. We are not dying in Africa. We are living good. So, but if you can come and see for yourself, so this is real. This is what's really going on over here. So you will also, I think every year I will come to visit Africa. So for you come, then for you starting learning the tradition, the religion, you know, I think I love this. We have so many orishas that you can choose, so many colors.
Mm-hmm.
One of Batala, we call it Batala, is what is this, all white. It's wear all white, nothing black, nothing red, it's very clean. Is the one that is about Batala, is the one that molds us. Only God now put make us very good heart on him. So they can have to breast. So it's one that molds us. No, it's one that molds woman. So we have to go. It's a bit of iron. The car is iron. God is Ogun. God is Ogun. Car is Ogun. Everything we do in life. Ogun is the one that anything that's energy technologies is Ogun. So we have Shango, God of Thunder. Thunder, control the rain. Rain is Ogun. I know what I mean. Shango, it's a God of Thunder. You can hear whenever the rain, thunder strike. That is Shango. So we also have Oya. Oya is the woman. He's going to control the flood. Probably have in America. So that's Oya because you don't feed Oya. You don't write into take care of Oya and it keep happening. That's quick, everything. That is the flow, then as Oya control all that. So if you know the right thing to do for Oya, you will stop doing that. You know. So that's the one, Oshun, you know, it's the river, Olokun, you know, the Ozen, that's the local, Yimaja, the Little River. So we have all that. So, that's also the Orisha, you know, that's the Delphi for twins, you know, everything, all the things, you know, that's a different, if you like dancing, music, it's in our culture. We dance a lot, music, listen to music, so anything that you want to learn, I can hear your children, so your children, you can teach them now, you can teach them young, when they are young. So when they are young, teach them the culture. Yoruba culture is very, very rich. If your children learn Yoruba culture, you see, they will be good for you. They can never say, "I want to go." They won't join the bad gang because Yoruba culture is very, very rich. You don't allow our children to be bad. No. So your children, by the grace of Ifa, by the grace of God, they will be useful for themselves. They will be useful for you, for themselves, for the community, for the country as a whole. So,
yes.
Baba. Yes.
Yeah.
We're out of time for this week's show, but I want to thank you on behalf of Prince Ty and myself for coming in and giving us this tremendous insight into Egungun, and to all of the Yoruba practices and the clearing up some things about Egungun for us. We are truly forever grateful, and we look forward to having you back here next week so we can have further discussion and further enlightenment. I pray that you and your family continue to be immensely blessed and that you are able to continue the good work that you do for the people, not only there in Nigeria, but around the world, the people that you help. We greatly appreciate you, and we pray that Olodumare bless you, that Ifa continue to guide you with wisdom, that all the Orisha come to your aid, and that your ancestors support you. And We want to give thanks to again to all of our ancestors, give thanks to all of the Orisha who are here to help us, and to Ifa who guides us, to all of the Mari without whom nothing at all would be possible. We remind everyone to reach back to Africa, to reach back in any way you can, whether it is through study or through connecting with elders and talking with them, or really, if you can, make the trip to Africa to reconnect. We'll leave you with that and pray for peace and blessings and prosperity and good health for everyone. We'll hope to have everyone back here next week for Ifa Wednesdays. And please remember that Prince Tai has his show on the Power Lunch almost every day of the week. And Wednesday is dedicated to Ifa Wednesdays on the Power Lunch. Take care and be blessed.
Sure. Ashe, and let me quickly add to that, too. We will have another guest with us next week, Prince Oloke Kehinde Alexander from Oyo, Nigeria. He will also be on the show. He wants to continue the conversation about the ancient masquerade from the Ife axis. So we will have a priest from Oyo also with us next Wednesday on the Power Lunch. I certainly appreciate everyone. I appreciate my NOLA neighbor and all of our listeners, and invite you to join us for Ifa Wednesday again next week at 12 noon at U.S. Central Standard Time here on Blog Talk Radio. All is truly and indeed a blessing. Ashe.
Ashe.
Congo Square. The Omus Indians prepared this place for us. Centuries before our arrival, a sacred spot where corn festivals were celebrated, the Omus Indians prepared this place for us. Centuries before our arrival, Congo Square, a sacred spot where corn festivals were celebrated, and as the colonizers came, our host, the Omus Indians, they pushed aside our host. The colonizers came and pushed aside our host and introduced us in chains. And by the late 1700s, we somehow, recognizing the sacredness of Les Places de Congo, we somehow, and the how of our somehow persuasive methodologies is not clear at this moment. The how is not clear. How our persuasive methodologies worked is not clear at this moment, but nevertheless, even as slaves, we crafted and created a space where we could be free to be we. And thusly, we countered the sacrilegiousness of the French, giving great homage to our ancestors as well as giving praise and thanks to our red-blooded brothers and sisters. This is an oral libation toast to Congo Square, to Native Americans, to our ancestors who made a circle out of a square and gave us a way to stay ourselves, save ourselves from the transformatory ugliness of America, which refuses to recognize the spirituality of life, which refuses to recognize the spirituality of life and celebrates death with crosses and crosses, double and triple crosses, the middle passage, the first cross, Christianity, the double cross, and capitalism, the ultimate triple coup de grace cross of our captivity. But the terror of crosses notwithstanding, we sang, we beat, we be, we was and is. Hail Congo Square. Congo, Congo Square. Our African gods have not been obliterated. They have merely retreated inside the beat of us. Inside the beat of us, our African gods have not been obliterated. They have merely retreated, retreated inside the beat of us until we are ready to release them into a world that we recreate. A world heralded by the beat, be, beat, being, beating, being of black heart drums. Heart. Beat, heart, beat, heart, be at this place, be heart, beat, beat, we beating place in new world space, beating, being in place in new world, preserving our ancient pace. Our dance is the God walk, our music the God talk. First thing we do, let's get together, circle ourselves into community. No beginning, no end, connected together and singing, ringing, singing in a ring. Second, let's be original, aboriginal. Be what we were before we became what we are. Be Bambula dance, be Banza music, and sing song words which have no English translation. Third, let us remember. Let us remember never to forget. Even when we can't remember the specifics, we must retain the essentials. Let us remember never to forget. Even when we can't remember the specifics, we must retain the essentials. The bounce, the blood flow, the feel, the spirit grow, energy must retain and pass on the essential usness that others want to dissipate with out
Hello.
Of us.
Whoa.
But no matter. No matter how much of us they prohibit.
Way.
No matter how much of us they prohibit. Deep inside us is us. Deep inside us is us. Remains us inside and needs only the beat to set us free. The beat to free us. It is morning, a sun day, a feel without shade, but dark. Dark with the people black of us in various shades, eclipsing the sun with our elegance. We are centuries later now, and still this sacred ground calls us to remember, to be. We are centuries later now, and still this sacred ground calls us to remember, to beat, to be. Beat Congo Square. Be Congo Square. Beat. Be. Beat. Be. Beat. Square. B. Congo Square. B. 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 Remember. Remember.